one shop.
Where is that, upstairs?
Downstairs.
Fine. And do you have any upstairs facilities?
Yes, we have upstairs in Metal One. Right now we don't have, but we will have again. We did have.
Fine. Now, I wonder if you would tell me or describe for me the operations of Metal One and Metal Two.
Well, both shops produce the products. In fact, both shops can produce the same products. We've broken it down, and in the one shop, in the Metal One shop, we produce our library shelving, kitchen cabinets, bedside cabinets, typewriter tables. And in our other shop, Metal Two, we produce our shelving and lockers, tables, and there's some other small items that we manufacture, such as transfer cases.
Fine. Mr. Van Buren, prior to the September incidents, how many men were assigned to the metal shops?
Approximately 450.
How many are assigned there now?
About 130.
All right. Now, we'll go back to before September of 1971. What were the various job assignments in the metal shops?
You mean such as a punch press operator,
yes,
press brake operator, shear operator, steel handlers, spot welder operators, oxyacetylene welders, assemblers, spray painters, metal treatment unit operator, craters, clerks.
Fine. Now, can you tell me what the scale or rate of pay of the men working in the metal shops is?
Labor grade one, it's 25 cents. We have four labor grades. In labor grade one, it's 25 cents, and those are just porters. Labor grade two runs from 30 to 50. Labor grade three from 55 to 75. And labor grade four, 80 to a dollar.
Is there any structure for promotion of these men from one grade to another?
Yes. Prior to the incident, we had a bid system whereby if a man wanted to get out of the grade that he was in, we put up the jobs for bid, the higher grade jobs for bid, and he could bid on it. And based on his length of service and his ability and his training there, why, he was promoted to the next higher job in grade.
Now let me ask you, we've heard previous witnesses talk or allude to the metal shops. Is assignment to the metal shop, in the eyes of the inmate, a desirable assignment?
In some cases, no. In fact, I'd say probably in a lot of cases it wasn't.
Isn't, in fact, it viewed by many as a punishment detail?
Some of them have that view.
Right. Well, let me put it this way. Are there any or many volunteers for assignment to the metal shop?
Yes, there are.
Mr. Van Buren, I wonder if you could tell me, prior to September 1971, what the racial composition of the metal shop is, in terms of percentages?
It would be pretty hard, but I'd say between 75 and 80% black and Puerto Rican, and the rest were white.
Do you know if this percentage prevails in the other programs in the institution?
I don't think it did in all of the other programs because our ratio wasn't that far off.
Right. In other words, there was a higher percent of blacks and Puerto Ricans in the metal shop programs than in the prison population generally.
Right.
Are you able to assess any reason for this?
No, not really.
Do you think that because we did discuss that this was possibly an undesirable assignment in the eyes of the inmates, that this might be the result of either knowing or unknowing racial discrimination?
could be, but I...
You don't have anything to do with the assignment of these men to your program?
Well, we do have a program committee, but at that time it seemed like they couldn't handle everybody through the program committee, and consequently they were assigned just to the metal shop just because they were assigned to B Block. If they were housed in B Block, they worked in the metal shop, whether they wanted to or not.
Well, which came first, the chicken or the egg? In other words,
they were assigned to the block first. And then because they housed in the block, if they housed in a company that was assigned to the shop, they were brought over to the shop and assigned there.
So it was pretty much predetermined that a man that was going to be housed in B Block would work in the metal shop.
Except for the porter companies in the block, one grading company.
Now, you mentioned that there were some 450 men, I believe you said, that
That's
were
correct.
Assigned to the metal shops prior to September. Of these 450 men, how many men at any one time are actually working or have available work for them of that 450?
About 250.
And what were the others doing?
Well, of course, some of them were out on various call-outs. Some of them were just standing around the shop because we just didn't have any work for them. I mean, only one man can run a machine. Two men at the most can work on an assembly bench. So consequently, the rest were just idle in the shop. We did make porters out of them. They had work for a small amount of hours during the day, but not enough to keep them busy all day long.
Right. Now, we have heard from other witnesses and through our interviews that one of the reasons that the metal shop assignment was undesirable was because there was at least rumors that there were questionable, deviant, or illegal activities possibly going on in the metal shops because of the large numbers of men and because of the number of idle men. Do you know if there's any truth to that?
Not that I know of.
Right. Have you heard of any rumors of any, gambling or homosexual behavior or even dealing in illegal activities in the metal shop?
No, I think the gambling probably goes on all over the institution in some form or another, so no doubt it probably did go on in the shops, but I personally didn't know of it.
Right, and didn't hear any rumors of this kind?
No.
How would you assess the motivation of the majority of men working in the metal shop? Do you feel they were highly motivated?
That's a tough problem. Motivating the people is probably one of our hardest jobs.
Right.
Once we motivate a man or get him to be a little interested, why, it's the job becomes easy because we have trained people that can show our employees how to do a job and how to do it properly and safely. But motivating him is the hard job, especially when you get a man assigned that just doesn't want to be there.
Right. Would it be a fair statement to say that a large percentage of the men are not highly motivated?
A large percentage aren't highly motivated. We do motivate quite a few.
What kind of equipment do you have there, Mr. Van Buren? By that I mean, is the equipment sufficient to do the job that you have the men do?
Our equipment is very good. A lot of our equipment is brand new. It's expensive equipment, and it's good equipment. We do have some used equipment, and all of our used equipment is repaired in an A-number-1 condition. Whatever used equipment we have is as good as it possibly can be.
Now, do you think that the men working in the metal shops can acquire skills from the work in the shop, skills that are usable on the outside?
I certainly do.
And you feel that there is a good job potential for men who are skilled in the use of the equipment you have in your shops?
Yes.
In fact, how effective is your job training program, though? I'm talking about in terms of the effectiveness with the inmates.
Well, I think we know that we have good operators. Whether they all get jobs on the outside, that's something we know nothing about. We don't get any feedback from parole or anybody else. About the only feedback I get is maybe once in a while somebody will call me up and say, do you have any more men like so-and-so? He's a great man.
Let me ask
Other
you...
Other than that, why, I don't know.
Yes, sir. Mr. Van Buren, are the inmates informed by anyone of the job potential or the skills that can be acquired in working in the metal shop?
We try to do this on our program committee when we first interview the people. The foreman also try to do this when the man first gets assigned to the shop.
Are the parole people, people from the parole board, or the people assigned to the institution in the parole commission, do they at all coordinate with the metal shop program? That is to say, say a man has an open date. Does the parole board or the parole commission personnel work with the metal shop in order to try and place a man who, say, is about to leave the institution?
I don't know whether they try to replace him or not. About the only thing we do is send a report in on the man as to his ability to get along with people, his training, how well he does his job, this type of thing.
But there's no active coordination.
That's all we do is send a report over to the parole. What happens after that, I don't know.
Do you know if there's any counseling by anyone to the inmate assigned to the metal shop as to acquiring work habits and the worth of your program?
Just through the foreman.
How many, speaking of the foreman, actually how many people, what are the number of people on your staff? I'm talking about civilian or correction personnel.
Well, right now I have 12 foremen, 5 civilians and other jobs such as the accounting people. I have a trucker. We have our own truck. I have an assistant and a stores clerk. And then there are 5 correction officers and a correction sergeant assigned to the industrial department.
Right. Now, what is their assignment for security purposes?
Yes.
Right. Now, how are these people selected, the civilian employees, to work in the metal shop?
Through civil service.
Right.
All of the jobs in my department go through civil service.
Right. These are people off of civil service lists.
Right.
Now, generally, do you know if these people are from around that area, the Attica area?
I'd say most of them are not necessarily from Attica.
Right.
Let's say from a radius with a 40 miles, 50 miles.
Now, you did say that upwards of 75% of the inmates assigned to the metal shop are black or Puerto Rican. Are there any black or Puerto Ricans on your staff?
No.
Is there anyone on your staff who speaks Spanish?
No, there's not.
Has any been any attempt to recruit people of these two ethnic backgrounds to work in the shop?
Not to my knowledge.
Do you think it would be helpful?
Yes, I do.
And would you recommend that this might be helpful in carrying out your programs?
I think it would be.
I wonder if you'd tell us, Mr. Van Buren, about the working conditions in the shop. First of all, what are the number of hours that a man works in the shop?
Man comes in at 8 right now, and he leaves about 5 minutes after 11. Then he comes back in at 1 o'clock, and he leaves about 2:40.
So we're talking about perhaps 4 hours and 45 minutes, at most 5 hours.
At most.
Do you think that this is enough time for a man to develop good work habits?
No, I do not.
You feel that it should be a longer work day?
Yes, I do.
Well, commensurate with that, do you think perhaps a man should be paid more?
Well,
what I'm trying to say is, what do you think the incentive for a longer work day might be to motivate a man to want to work longer than these 4 to 5
hours? If he worked a longer work day, yes. Our cost structure right now is based on the wages that we do pay. Mm-hmm. And if a man works longer, in fact, we do work employees on an overtime basis at times, and we pay them time and a half for working beyond their regular day or if they work a Saturday.
So you feel that really to develop a man and develop a man, say who had maybe marginal work background and perhaps poor work habits, that you feel that a 5-hour day is really not enough time?
That's right.
Now, would the work in the metal shops be considered dirty work? That is, work that would cause you to become sweaty and tired? Well,
some of the operations, yes. Now, a painter, now that's a dirty job. I mean, although our equipment is modern, we have modern paint spray equipment. There is some paint involved, and a man would get more dirty in that operation. Our steel handlers, the people that unload and unload trucks, their job is a little dirtier. But the assemblers, no, I'd say no. A lot of the jobs, that's not so.
Right. Now, during the warm weather, have you any air conditioning there?
No, we do have air makeup units. All of the air that's drawn out from the various equipment, such as our bake oven and our metal treatment equipment and our spray brews, is replaced with these air makeup units. I might add that when the temperature gets to be 90, we close the shop down.
Is that outside or inside? Outside or inside?
Inside.
Are there any showers available to the men working there?
Not in the shops.
So that those men who are doing the really perhaps sweaty work do you know incidentally how many showers the men do get?
Right now they get 2 a week.
Right. Do you think go ahead, sir.
The showers are taking during their work day. Right. And they like in the afternoon. Instead of coming back to the shop, they get their showers 2 days a week. We lose that time that they're gone for showers, which amounts to just about the whole afternoon.
I see. Do you feel that, do you have showers in there, in the metal shops?
No, we do not.
Do you think it might be a helpful innovation if they added showers there?
In the shops?
Yeah.
I would rather see the showers in the cell blocks.
Do you think
that... On each gallery.
What is your feeling about... 2 showers a week and doing this type of heavy work, do you think that should be increased?
If it were possible. I have nothing to do about the control of the institution facilities, but if it were possible for them to have more showers, I think it would be fine. At least he should be given the privilege of taking more showers if he wants.
Not to be glib, Mr. Van Buren, but in the areas where the heavy work is done, I would imagine sometime near the third or fourth day between showers, it might be rather fragrant in there, isn't it?
Well, I have to say this. On our steel crew, prior to our problems, we did manage to get these people extra showers. They were a small crew, and the officer took them back early, and these people were allowed to take a shower. But this shower was taken in the block, not in the shop. But even so, what you say?
All right, fine. Mr. Van Buren, I'd like to explore the area of the economy of the metal shops. Who are the customers serviced by the metal shop?
Any state agency. Any state agency buys from us. In fact, they're obligated to buy from us unless they get a release from prison industries.
Right. So that you service only state agencies?
No, we do also sell to high schools, towns and counties, municipalities.
Now, how are these customers acquired? Do you have people in doing marketing or sales or retailing or drumming up trade?
Well, we do have a couple of people on the staff in Albany that do try to increase our business, and also we have catalogs that are sent out to the various purchasing agents or stewards throughout the state.
Right. And at present, or let me say just prior to the September occurrences, was the metal shop being operated at a profit?
Well, just prior, our workload had dropped. We just didn't have the volume of work that we needed prior to that. But the year before,
yes,
was a very good year.
Right. And do you know, or could you tell me what, I have figures here saying that with the fiscal year ending on March 1971, sales were $1,248,758 and profits $144,717. Are they accurate figures?
That's the year 1970 you're quoting.
Yes. Now, how about the year 1971?
1971, our sales were, well, I have it here. $1,313,368, and our profit was $102,000.
Right. Was this always so? When you first came in the into the program, was the were the shops operating at a profit?
No, they weren't.
They're operating at
a loss.
At a loss, and now it's at a profit. Do you feel this is an improvement?
I certainly do.
In other words, one of the purposes for the shop is, if possible, to make a profit.
If we don't make a profit, we're not going to exist. How are we going to get money for new equipment?
Right. In other words, the equipment doesn't come as a matter of course from the state.
No, our funds are separate from the state funds. All of the prison industry funds are in one.
Yes, that was going to be the next question.
Okay.
And that was going. That question is, are the profits earned in the metal shop turned back into the Attica industrial program?
Not necessarily. In fact, no. The profits are all of the monies go to the general fund for the Division of Industries.
And that's throughout the state?
That's throughout the state. And then from there, each unit requests what they need for new equipment.
And that's how these profits are used, for new equipment throughout the state system.
Right.
So that if, say, you're operating at a profit, and say another facility, let's say that Clinton is operating at a deficit, your program might suffer as a result because you're not getting back that profit. It's being spread out, so to speak.
Well, I don't know as we'd suffer, but at least the other outfit would be helped.
What are your feelings about, what would you like to see done with the profits that come from the work at the Attica industrial shops?
Well, I would like to make sure that some of the profits reverted back to our own operation, because that would ensure that we could keep our equipment up and buy new equipment. I mean, maybe there's new machines that we would like to put in, new products.
I see.
Although I haven't had any trouble getting what I've wanted. I must say that.
Mr. Van Buren, you spoke earlier of among some of the men, the lack of motivation to work. And I'd like to ask you this, based upon your prior testimony concerning the number of idle men, the punishment character of the assignment, at least in the minds of some of the men, the low wages as compared to, say, some of the more desirable jobs, lack of shower facilities, the lack of coordination, say, with the parole program, and the absence of real job counseling in the program, and such other factors, say, as maybe the previous environmental factors which might have contributed to the man being in Attica. Don't you believe that a lack of motivation might be a predictable result?
Yes.
And also, based upon those same testified to factors, plus the limited effectiveness of job training, that is, you have so many men and just not enough jobs for them to do, and the limited numbers of persons acquiring skills, that is, all of them can't possibly acquire skills if they don't have material and equipment available to them. And the fact that the profits are not used to maintain and improve Attica itself, do you believe that there's any really meaningful rehabilitation for the inmates working in the shops?
Well, when you say rehabilitation, I don't think you can force something down a man's throat. If he doesn't want to operate a machine or he doesn't want to work at a specific job, I don't think you can make him. I mean, he might go through the motions, but he certainly isn't going to learn a great deal. Maybe some of it will rub off, but I don't think
Where do you think of, how do you think a man becomes rehabilitated?
How?
Yes.
I think he's gonna have to want to inside.
Right.
You get this, and then you, all we can do is give him the tools to work with and the training to work with, so that when he does get outside, he can, well, just live like anybody else would live.
Would it be fair to state that many of the men who are in there because they haven't been able to conform or haven't been able to adjust to the environmental factors of the outside?
That's right.
And would you believe that then motivation for rehabilitation would have to come perhaps not from within? These people haven't been able to motivate from within. You feel that counseling services about the job, I mean concentrated counseling services to show these men the value of a work program might be something needed?
That, and I think even more.
What more?
I think maybe that they should, maybe these psychiatrists and psychologists could help these people too before they even get to the shops.
In other words, you feel that
our job is training them in a specific job, and this we can do.
So you feel that prior to their assignment to your program, it might be a good idea if they at least have some, if not psychological testing, at least some counseling.
Right.
Does it appear to you that more emphasis is placed on production and increasing profits than on the training and rehabilitation of the men? Where would you say the biggest emphasis is?
Our basic job is to train these people. And along with it, if you have a good training program, your production falls right in line.
In other words, you feel that if a man is well trained, that the profits would increase.
That's correct.
Right. But you put the emphasis more on the training than on the profits.
Basically, that's our job, to do the training. But we have to make a profit as well.
Mr. Van Buren, if able to do so, what recommendations or changes would you institute in the shop?
Well, I'll tell you one thing I would like. I think we should have a job placement service. I would like a man that worked in our shops, that was familiar with our operation, that could go to the outside and talk to prospective employers to see what his requirements are. Bring these people in and let them see what type of jobs we can train these people for. And then actually do something about getting them jobs. I mean, we can tell them that, boy, you learn this and everything's going to be fine. You'll be able to go out and get a job. Well, if he doesn't, then everything we've done is for nothing.
And are you saying that at present, no one from industry does come in help in this training?
That's right. They're not familiar with our operation. They're not familiar with what we can do. Sure, we can tell them that we've got a good press brake operator. He can set up the press brakes as well as operate them. But the man does his own job hunting. Our employees write and ask for jobs and apply for jobs, but I don't know of anybody else that gives them a hand.
Right. In other words, that's not part of your program to help
place
them.
That's not part of our program. I think it would be a good idea if it were. We would have something a little more to offer. Maybe this would motivate them a little more to want to come to work in the shops.
Fine. Have you these recommendations, have you made them to the administration at all?
Not this particular one, but some of the other ones. I've got some more.
Yes, let me hear about those, Mr. Van Buren.
I would like a full 8-hour day. Now, I realize that there's a lot of things that go on in the institution that prevent this, but I would still like it. I would like control over the number of people that are assigned to the shop.
You feel presently there are too many, or at least at the time we spoke about prior to September, when things were normal.
I didn't have any control over the number of people that were in the shop.
And you felt there were too many?
That's right.
So you would like to have better control of that?
I think I'm better able to determine how many people we can train with the equipment and the facilities that we have. I think we could have a work release program for installation of our own products. And also a little more vestibule training than we do have. We do have one training program in our machine shop where we have a vocational instructor. He gets a small group of people teaches the rudiments and the basics, and then they're turned over to my machine shop foreman who furthers their training. I think we could have something like this in our metal shops, whereby we would... We did have something prior to the riot, but it was a little... not quite as convenient as I wanted it. I would like a small area in our shop where we could teach a man how to read a rule, basic math, and simple blueprint reading, rather than leave all of this up to the foreman. If the foreman has to do all of this with each and every man, he doesn't have enough time to go around. And I think a course in human relation training for my foreman would be good, too.
Very good. Very good. And would you, you earlier also said that, if possible, you would like to have perhaps some black and Puerto Rican persons working on your staff?
I don't care what they are. If they're qualified to do the job, that's all that's necessary.
Right. Now, have you made any of these recommendations to the administration?
Yes, we have talked about some of these, good share of them.
Right. And when did you last discuss this with the administration?
Prior to the riot and shortly after it.
Right. Have these recommendations been acted upon?
I think some of them are being considered.
Well, have
the wheels of progress turned very slowly.
Well, have any of them been implemented, in fact?
Well, the shops are not being overloaded. I do have control, at least at the present, of the number of people that we have in the shop. In fact, right now we need more. But they are running through the program committee, which is one of the things that I would like to insist on. This is at least the initial interview with these people before they're assigned a program. There you can find out what they do want to do, whether they are interested in a program such as we have to offer or any other program in the institution. I would like them to go through this before they are assigned.
Right. Well, isn't, in fact, the reason why you have more manageable numbers working for you, in fact, more because close to half of the men have been transferred,
that's right,
rather than a change of on the part of the administration that they want
no,
to
no.
give you.
The not that's not the fact that we do have less people. There is one reason, but the administration has agreed to.
And you, in other words, you believe
a number of people in the shop.
In other words, you believe that if at any time the institution is back at, say, 2,000 or more men, they will control the numbers of men coming into your program?
I hope so.
Right. I have no further questions right now. I wonder if the members of the commission, Dean McKay?
Mr. Van Buren, there may be some questions from members of the commission, but I want to be sure first that you understand that you're entitled to make an independent statement if you wish, not in response to questions. Which you could do now or at the conclusion of whatever questions there are, if you wish.
I don't think so.
Thank you.
If I do, I'll do it at the end.
The commission questions will be initiated by Mr. Rothschild.
Mr. Van Buren, when you talk about numbers within the metal shop...
When you talk about numbers within the metal shop, my understanding is that the metal shop is really the only agency within the institution that has an outside constituency. Yeah, your production goes outside of the prison, so that the people who aren't employed by you, in a sense, must be involved in taking in one another's laundry or maintaining the inside of the institution. Is my assumption right?
Well, there are various other jobs throughout the institution.
Yeah, but they all are within the housekeeping, in a sense, of the institution itself.
Right.
You're the only one who has an outside constituency, in a sense.
Right.
So that as they reduce the numbers that you have, how do they absorb those people elsewhere?
That's a problem. I could never give them a good answer what to do with the excess people that I had in the shop, consequently.
So there are more people in the laundry and there are more people per square foot of floor to be mopped or so on, I guess. Is that an accurate...
Well, there are only so many jobs,
yeah.
And if you have too many people for them, you're overloaded no matter where you are.
Right. And The only other institution I know anything about, I was at Clinton and went through the textile shops there, and they operate on a piecework basis, I think. Does this do anything? Judge Willis talked about motivation and whatnot. Is that something that helps in making the job more attractive, the inmates, and certainly gets them more interested in production?
Yes, it does. We have one operation that we do work on a piecework basis. And these people do Well, they want more money, and that's the way they get it. They work harder for it. But to put our whole shop on a piecework is too hard for us to administer because we have just too many parts.
You can't do it. One of the thoughts you mentioned about job placement and running such a service, what would be involved in supplying? It sounds terrible. It's a terribly constructive thing, particularly what we've heard about the problems of inmates getting employment after they leave the institution. What would be involved in doing that, do you think? Would it involve just someone in the shop to take that responsibility, be an industrial liaison man on the outside, or?
Oh, I think you'd have to have a man that's industrially oriented, so that he knew what he was talking about, and he would have to go out and contact these prospective employers and talk to them and convince them that we do have people that are qualified.
In a sense, it would really might only be one person.
Could very well be only one person.
I just wonder, because it doesn't seem like a horrendous request in a sense, and it could be enormously constructive.
I mean, there would be one person in each institution is what I'm saying.
I understand.
I mean, the people that would sell my employees' skills would work out of Attica.
I have one other question. There's been a great deal of talk and in discussion in these hearings about the problems of rehabilitation within an institution. You're an industrial manager in essence,
That's correct.
I understand it. Your training is that, and obviously you have considerable expertise at it. To what degree is your responsibility that of running a factory, and to what degree is it running a rehabilitation organization, which is a totally different business? As one who comes out of the business world, that sounds like a schizophrenic assignment, unless, in fact, that is defined.
that's difficult. About the best way I can, I am responsible for the complete operation of the industrial operation. And when you, there again, when you talk about rehabilitation, we do the best job we can to rehabilitate these people. And my foremen do talk with them and counsel them and if they have any questions. But there again, usually most of their questions are concerned with their work. If a man is having trouble, they do go over and try to find out what his problem is. And in most cases, they can't handle it. So they refer him to the service unit or the chaplains or tell him to drop a tab down to the deputy superintendent. This is about the best we can do. We have a big operation, and the foreman has many duties besides his training duties with the inmates.
Let me just pursue it one more step. It would seem almost, I would think, unrealistic to expect major psychological input as a counterpart to running an industrial factory. And isn't that, in a sense, some of the conversation about what rehabilitation means is asking of you?
Oh, I suppose in a sense it does, yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Hennigs, have you questions?
Yes. Mr. Van Buren, in our examination of Mr. Goey yesterday, he said that there was a union for the officers. Is there a union for shop supervisors?
They belong to the CSEA.
They belong, yes. I'd like to ask you another question, and it was posed yesterday again to Mr. Goey. Do you take vacations?
Do I take vacations?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
You're entitled to vacations.
That's correct.
How do you feel about the fact that no inmates are entitled to a vacation at this point in time, no matter how much time he's done in the institution, 10 years up to this point and 10 years to go, perhaps? How do you feel about that?
Well, one of the things that bother me, the number of interruptions that we have during the day. When a man takes his shower, he's gone. When he gets his haircut, he's gone. When he has an interview with a chaplain, he's gone. When he has an interview with the service unit, he's gone. And our day is short enough as it is, and we take him out for all of these other things. I really haven't considered vacations.
But if you consider it, I'm just speaking of years and years of time, and I know being a person who had worked in Attica for 6 years, you're aware of how actually when on a map Attica looks very different than it does when you're inside of it.
That's correct.
And if a man actually has, for whatever reasons, worked in the shop for years and years, I'm saying that in any given year, you say to him, as an inducement to attract more people to your work medium, that he's entitled to 1 week vacation. Does that sound like it might be reasonable? I don't say the whole shop at one time. Of course, you could rotate it, or you could set up a system where it is possible for a man to rest and reflect.
It could be, but then again, this would be something that I wouldn't have any control over.
I know. I didn't think so. I was only posing that as a question because it seems I think one of the problems here that our society has is in forgetting that the inmate is a human being.
Well,
and that he has a tolerance.
Yes, he does. Mm. We shut our shops down for the World Series. That's a small thing, but we do shut the shops down so they can go out in the yard and see the World
Series. That's a half a day, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not a great deal, but it's something.
Yes, I know. Okay. I'd like to ask you another question. Are you aware that the industries in the federal institutions that a man could earn in doing the same type of work that's being done in your metal shop, i.e. in Inference, Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, can earn up to $70 a month and more?
No, I don't know this. I don't know anything at all about the...
Well, this is true.
I don't know.
It's for doing the same type of work. Perhaps they have better outlets. Yeah, but the thing, in addition to that, and I also am aware that the federal government has a lot more money. My other question is, in line with rehabilitation, the question was posed by Mr. Rothschild as to the schizophrenic personality of any work medium where you would have to deal with industry and production and also in rehabilitation. I would feel, or could you consider, the possibility of the state supporting the shop with people who are trained in, say, work behavior and be able to interpret from the work that the men are producing and the attitudes of the men that are producing this work when they do need help in this area, right on the spot, so they could point out to this person, look, this is what you're doing, what does it mean to you? And begin to really practice rehabilitation within the shop itself.
There'd be nothing wrong
rather
with that.
Than put the responsibility on you. It seems like you're up there, you're the whole thing. But I'm saying I think that it could be helpful if the state would use some of the monies that it has in order to put other personnel in the shop who's trained in this area.
Could help a great deal.
Thank you.
Mr. Van Buren, I'd like to ask just one more question. I know that job placement is not your responsibility and that it isn't really the responsibility of anybody in the institution, but I'm sure also that you must be very concerned about the welfare of your graduates, if I may so call them. Over the 6 years you've been a supervisor, I assume that some hundreds of people who have worked in your shop and have some skills have left the institution. Do you have any idea how many of them have received first jobs in which they used the skills that they used within the institution at all?
No, I can't give you that information. I just don't know.
Is there any way we can get that information?
I don't know about the only way I know you could possibly get it would be through the parole.
So there's no placement, there's no follow-up, and no record of what they do in relationship to the skills they have in the prison?
I don't say there isn't any. I don't know of any.
Yes, thank you. I'm advised by the other members of the commission that there are no further questions. Am I correct? And you do not wish to make a statement?
No, I don't think so.
Thank you. We're very grateful to you for giving us your time and your complete cooperation, Mr. Van Buren.
Thank you.